Hello and welcome to Retrotainment back here at my co-host, capital C, capital O, Greg. How are you doing, buddy?
What's up, homie?
Ah, nothing much, not much. Just tipping away, continuing away with our Robin Williams films. A bit of a more
Rob,
serious one here.
this is not Robin Williams, really, is it?
No, this was your choice for.
Yeah.
I think we agreed on most of them, but this was the one that you were fairly heavy batting for.
Yeah, well, this, in my opinion, is his best acting role.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not his most enjoyable film, but in terms of acting ability and
Yeah.
everything
Well,
like that, yeah, this is right up there.
apart from that fucking gammy Boston accent,
Yeah, he probably should have stayed away from that, but the rest of it is like
even Matt Damon's one is terrible.
not the Boston accent, I think you kind of have to.
It's like that. It's like the Newcastle and Liverpool accent. Some people love it. Most everybody else hates it.
Yeah, you kind of have to want to hear it. Yeah, no, this is, it's not the usual stuff you see, usual light-hearted comedy-based films. This is one of his more serious ones. There's a few others, obviously, we were discussing it before, Dead Poets Society, which is just pre-90s, which is why we didn't do it.
Yeah, that would have been easily going in.
Yeah, Patch Adams, which not fondly remembered, but also quite a serious film.
Yeah, I do love that movie, I must say, though.
Yeah, Good Morning Vietnam, again, 80s, but again, not a comedy.
In any stretch of the form.
No, they're the ones that are out of his wheelhouse, and it shows just how good he really was. He
And then
wasn't just a comedy actor.
we'd mentioned then obviously a couple other ones was 1 Hour Photo and Insomnia, where he was the bad guy in the horror scene for a while.
Yeah, and it really showed the range that he had because, everyone just remembers him as this comedy guy, which
Genius.
is, which is why it's still what I remember him as well, to be honest. Like most of his films are, comedy based, like kids,
Yeah.
happy, friendly films, and I do
With a
like that,
meter.
but sorry.
It's never the same stick with a meter, though. You know what I mean? It's
No,
different
that's
comedy in each
no,
one.
he's just wild. Everything's different the whole time with him. He's wild.
I think that's what made him like you could nearly go out and say, is he the greatest comedy actor?
Oh yeah, he's definitely up
He's
there.
definitely, it has to be in everyone's conversation.
Yeah, he would have to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, film for anyone who doesn't know is Good Will Hunting. Released on the 5th of December 1997. Strange release date. Now that is the Irish release date, so
Yeah, it was definitely around August, I'd
it's
say.
definitely a bit earlier than that. We always take a quick look at the ratings. 83 critics have this at 98%, so it's really highly rated
Whoa.
by critics. Unsurprisingly, the audience score is lower because 98 is such a high, but it's 94. It's a little bit lower.
That'll be probably in the top three that we've done then, is it? Up there with Terminator.
It would be for both, like having both of them be this high, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Probably
I'm
be two, would it? Terminator be one.
Terminator be up there.
Well,
I don't think.
Terminator has 100%, doesn't it? Or 99%.
Yeah, something like that. I think this is one of the highest of dual scores, though, both
Yeah.
being in the high 90s, or well, the mid to high 90s, sort
This
of.
was phenomenal. There was a reason that this won everything that it did, like.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Box office wise, the numbers aren't overly impressive. 20 or 225.9 million. It's not overly impressive, but again,
I wouldn't say no to it.
you have to adjust for inflation and all that stuff. So
I'd say
probably,
inflation probably bring it up to about four-ish.
oh, easily, yeah. But the story is just brilliant here. Like it opens when we see a young Will studying in his rundown house. The house is just covered in books. But then you see the outside of the house, and he's living on the wrong side of the tracks, as they say.
Yeah, it is literally 8 mile to non-8 mile, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're kind of like you see the outside of his house, and you're like, well, how does he have all these books? Now he does explain later how he has all those books when he's telling Clark. He's like, you could have bought all of that college education for, $1.50 in late fees at the public library. So
Yeah, he
basically
really
stealing.
puts Clark in his place, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's ba you know basically he goes to the library, gets a book, and then pays the late fees on it and just keeps the book.
Yeah, I suppose. Why not?
Yeah, but
I've seen people do it with videos and DVDs from the
yeah,
video shop.
you see it all the time. It's just a cheaper way of getting it.
Yeah.
Now sometimes I think people probably legitimately have lost them, but he clearly wasn't losing any of these books.
No, he has, it's an OCD thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's that he you can see the speed he reads them. Like, he just pretty much turns a page. He's got that speed reading, and then basically an eidetic memory where he just absorbs it.
Have you noticed, like, watching this film, I don't know whether you've if you've watched Suits.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, Suits is pretty much a TV show based off
This. Yeah, it's very,
it's not
very
based off this, but it's that kind of premise.
Very similar, yeah. But we see he's a janitor at this prestigious university, MIT.
Worst janitor ever.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to do a whole lot of cleaning, but we see Professor Lambeau putting up a problem for all of his students to solve. And, you know, if you solve this, you're going to be published in this paper and everything, which is a big deal.
I imagine that'll probably get you a scholarship too.
Yeah, I mean, it'd get you notoriety anyway. It'd put your name out in the field if you were solving things like that. But nobody seems to be really up to it, except Will, who sees it when he's just cleaning and just goes off and solves it.
Yeah, I forgot that thing is the thing in the kind of
Skarsgård.
Yeah,
you'd forget he's Professor Lambeau.
That man's
got
himself into so many fucking things.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, isn't he?
He's a great actor.
Yeah, I do forget how, you know, because he's kind of been in some minor roles and stuff.
Yeah.
In later years in his career, you do forget how big of a star he was. Really,
he even got himself into the Avengers and everything. Like,
yeah, he was in Pirates of the Caribbean as well.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, wasn't he? He's Bootstrap Bill.
Yeah. He was.
That's what I'm saying. You kind of forget him because he's such a minor character in it.
Yeah.
You forget.
He's definitely the best actor of the family.
So far, but, like, you know.
Well, everyone was tipping Bill to be.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where the rest of them go. You know, they still have careers ahead of them. But yeah, nobody knows. It's what I love here is that nobody knows it's Will, and they obviously all rush to see Professor Lambeau, and they're like, "Who solved it?" And he's like, "Let me have a look at this." Looks, and he's like, "Which one of you solved?" And they're like, not me."
He generally looks disgusted, doesn't he?
I mean, why did none of them just lie? I just lied and said it was me. Yeah, that was me. Yeah, put my name in that paper. Good luck.
The problem is that when he tells him there's a problem.
Yeah, well, you know, there wasn't a problem, so that was fine. I just lie.
I love it. I love how they have it on a blackboard outside the classroom in the hall. Like, what's to stop some fucking dickhead walking by and just going?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's this prestigious.
Yeah. This is the rich person school.
Yeah, well, they kind of say that, but I mean, everyone knows that, you know, no matter what college you're in, that wouldn't have survived like that.
No.
Not
if I was there anyway.
Not if anybody was there, you'd be first thing you'd be doing is scrubbing that off.
First thing you'd be doing is drawing a penis on it, let's be fair.
Yeah, but if you had chalk, if not, you'd just stick your old covered your the jumper sleeve. Over your sleeve over it, and good luck to it. You know, he solves it, and they're all trying to work out, well, who solved this, who solved this. Well, all that's happening, he's gone to
the baseball game.
Yeah, this is a little bit weird now. They go to this kid's baseball game, and I assumed that one of the kids was going to be, you know, somebody's, either, you know, Chucky's son or one of the other two lads' sons. No, they just go and watch it.
They just go literally to watch the Maz I picked up.
I think that's what it is, but they go and they're into it and everything, like, because they know the kid's names. They're like, come on, he's up to bat, and you're just like, how do they? Why are they so into this?
They're obviously just watching Little League, like,
yeah, you know, maybe. I don't know, maybe that's a thing.
Maybe man hits a good homer there, though, lad.
They do, yeah. But I mean, it's a bit weird that you're going watching it.
Suppose that's the thing in America, though, really, isn't it? Like, there's baseball everywhere. It's the same over here. Like, you'll see random people stopping watching kids playing football in the park. Like,
yeah, but it's a different thing to stop and watch a random people, and then to, you know, be going so often that you know the names,
the kids' names.
That's a little bit different, but you know. It seems like it's just their thing to do, you know, let's go hang out there, have a few cans.
I love how they're drinking the little small cans. It's not even the 500 cans, it's the 330 cans, and they're in a little brown paper bag.
I love that, you know, we see Carmen here, and Will is like, oh, he used to bully me when I was younger, but they just leave it, you know, they're kind of like, we don't want to ruin the game for everybody. And then they see him later walking home, hassling some girl.
20 minutes later.
Yeah, and they're like, right, well, we're not at the Little League anymore. Let's get out here.
The scene here, though, with Ben Affleck and the fella in the back, I can't remember his name, where he's like, give me my double burger. And he's like, how much money you got on you? I've got 16 cents. You give me that, and you pay 6 cents a day, and you can have your burger by the end of the week.
Your man gets so annoyed. Like,
and then the lads see him throw the glass bottle at you one.
Yeah. And
they're like, no way, we just seen that guy 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, I love this. They go out and like the fight scene isn't great, to be honest.
Oh, it's desperate.
It's done quite badly. Like,
yeah.
But you know, it gets the point across that, you know, as smart as Will is,
he's
you
a machine as well.
Yeah, but as smart as he is in terms of like being able to solve problems and stuff, his decision making is quite bad.
This here again, they play this off quite well into the movie as well, and we'll get into it later on, where you see the lads, they were just ready to go.
Oh yeah, they all just, you know, this is just part of their life, you know.
No, but going, like he said, let's do it, and they were just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they ride together, they die together, you know.
Apart from the guy who was eating his burger.
No, well, he comes out and he does get involved in the fight.
No, I know, but he's like, I'm not going.
Yeah, he says that, but
Ben Affleck's like, if you don't go, I'm going to kill you next.
After we kill them, I'm coming back. But, you know, it's the sort of thing that, you know, had the fight actually broken out, he would have still got out. You know he would.
Oh, he was always going in, yeah.
But they, you know, they put up, then they go to the college bar. And this
the cops come here and he kicks cop.
Yeah, he gets arrested here, but like, you know, gets out on bail and it's like, right, you'll have to go to a court here and then this, that and the other.
I love how he comes out and he's just like, when's your arraignment? Next week.
Yeah. But like, since it's a week away, I will go off to this college bar.
Yeah. They said somebody was home from or going to Harvard. So they're going up to see some random person. Yeah. Like,
they never meet him. No. From the seams of it, they never meet this lad. They just go up and go to this college bar. And this is where this is probably one of the more iconic scenes in it. And obviously one of the funnier ones where Clark tries to humiliate Chucky when he's trying to impress the two girls.
It's so funny because he comes over and he's pretending not to even notice. Oh, hi.
Yeah. Ben Affleck's role in this is quite minimal in terms of like actual screen time. But when he is on the screen, he really does take his moments, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's like, it showed how good of an actor he was in this, like even building up in this.
Yeah.
But when he comes over and he's like, oh, yeah, what cast was it? And he spills off something out of a book. And then Will just turns around and he absolutely lashes him out of it.
I love it, you know, and that's what you think now. But, you know, when you get into your second semester and you read this is where you'll start thinking this way. And then he tries to quote something back at him. He's like, yeah, I read that as well. You know, the education you're paying 150.
That comes from page 90 of some book.
Yeah, the education you were paying, you know, $250,000 for, you could have got that for 150 in overdue late fees, which, you know, that shows where he gets all his information.
Yeah.
And he absolutely schools him. And, you know, Clark looks like he wants to go again. And he's like, but if you want to, you know, we can take this outside. Clark's just like,
no.
All right. I don't want any of that.
This needed Jay and Silent Bob to come in and be like, Ben Affleck, you the bomb and Phantom Joe.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been good now. But I love
probably
this.
Probably not,
but I love this because, you know, then Will turns around to talk to the girls and the guy who was sitting in the back of the car that wants the burger, to prop up Will, his only line to prop up Will is, my boy's wicked smart. Yeah.
But they walk over to the other side of the bar.
Yeah, I mean, you're not doing him a lot of favors saying that.
He's just wicked smart.
I mean, he's already proved how smart he is. You really didn't need to say he was wicked smart.
Yeah, but I love how this then, like, they're there and the night's obviously rolled on.
Yeah, and she comes over to him.
How stupid are you? Well, not very. He just schooled this guy.
Yeah, but I've been waiting over there for you to come over and talk to me for the last 2 hours. And now I'm tired and I have to go home. Oh.
Sup.
Like she gives him the number, and then this is, you know, again one of the more memorable scenes.
This is the line that most people remember from this movie.
Goes up and knocks on the window. Hey,
do you like apples,
Clark? You like apples? Yeah, I like apples. How do you like those apples?
I got her number.
That's just so good, like, you know, because it's not like they see him when they're walking home. There's no reason for him to go other than these, like, what's Clark gonna do about it?
You'll do nothing,
you know. But yeah, he obviously, you know, the second problem had been put up on the board here as well, and he's gone and solved that.
This is where they figure out who it is.
Yeah, well, they see him doing it, but they think he's just, you know, as you said, like, just scribbling
graffiti
on it. And, yeah, just graffiti in it. So he just he legs it.
I love this. He doesn't even leg it. He just starts walking off and like, hey, he's like, go fuck yourself.
What's your name? Go fuck yourself.
He just leaves, disappears into one of the old Scooby-Doo doors.
Yeah, they can't find him. He's gone. Yeah. But they come back and they're like, oh, this is the guy who's been solving our problems.
I love this though, because obviously thing goes after him, but the other, the teacher's assistant or whatever he is, stays there
and starts working it out. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah,
and he's like, it's right.
Yeah, but they, you know, the professor's like, oh, we need to find out who this lad is. So he goes down to the maintenance boys.
Love this. Is this the maintenance room? Well, no, there's just broken machinery and yeah, random shit sitting around. Like,
it's very, it's the real stereotypical 90s, you know. Oh, yeah.
The rich professor hasn't a clue.
The rich professor wouldn't know a maintenance room if he knew it, and the maintenance lads don't like any of the professors, you know. It's very typical 90s.
The interaction here, though, like, for me, I always thought Dan Aykroyd would have been the perfect janitor there.
Yeah, he would have been very good.
Like, don't get me wrong, Ting, he's only in it for a minute. Like, it doesn't really matter. But when he turns around, he's like, I need to know the name of the cleaner in my building. Which building? I don't know. Building two?
Yeah. What I love here is that the assistant is real, you know. Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? And they're just like, no.
Okay,
I don't care either. But he finds out it's Will, and Will hasn't showed up for work since then.
Yeah, and he was like, you can talk to his PO, which is obviously a parole officer.
Which Lambo doesn't know what that means. And they have, you know, he goes down to the court and he sees Will trying to get himself off, and the judge is just like, listen, you have gotten yourself off everything that you've ever been up here for, with laws from 1970, 1770. He's like, I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, like, theoretically, he probably should have got away with it again.
I think he probably does if they let him talk, but he was just like, no, listen, yeah, I'm sick of this. Your rap sheet is long enough. It's time for you to spend some time in the cells.
You can't win the market.
Yeah, but obviously he gets out fairly quickly here because Lambo makes him a deal.
Yeah, pleads the deal.
Yeah, you come work for me, and two, you'll go to counseling. He's like, I'll come work for you. I am not doing counseling.
It's 100% not happening, yeah, bro.
But he goes in to do the counseling, and he breaks all of the counselors that get brought in. You know, the top five. The ones that are considered the top five in that.
That first one is hilarious. Oh, you're gay.
I'm not gay. What?
Oh, yeah. You know by the reaction, he's 100% gay.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's obviously not willing to share that information either. The second one, he just annoys into leaving.
Yeah.
And we don't see what happens to the next three, but we find out that we do find out that Lambo's gone to five before he visits his old roommate, Sean.
What a man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love how he's, you know, like, they go into the classroom and you can kind of see people aren't paying attention. So he goes off on some spiel that gets them all, like, paying attention, because he tells a joke by the end of it and he's like, ah, good, I've got everyone back now, have I?
Yeah, he's just a genius. As we said, we were going to do 90s movies, but you just had to admire the genius of this man.
Yeah, we got caught up on him and just started watching so many of his films. What I love here is that Sean eventually agrees that he'll do the counseling.
He'll do at least one anyway.
Yeah, but what gets him is that they come from the same neighborhood.
Yeah, that's what sold it. You can see it in his eyes. He's just like,
he's like, this is a kid who can make it out of the bad neighborhood that I made it out of as well.
Yeah. He made it out for a different reason, though.
Well, they both make it out because they're smart and they've, you know,
yeah,
they but like, get given that chance.
One star works ridiculously hard to give him the education.
Yeah, and the other one kind of has no parents at all by the looks of it.
Yeah, and is a genius.
Yeah, but, you know, he agrees to have this therapy session with him, and they're having the therapy session, and he goes a different route to all the other therapists. He doesn't try and lead Will to where he wants him to go. He just lets him kind of ramble away.
The painting.
Yeah, Will keeps changing. Every time it looks like they're getting a connection, Will changes tact again. And he's like, what's the story with this? And what's the story with that? Are those your books? Were you in the war? What's the story with this painting? It's the painting that sets him off, because he's like, oh, I painted that after my wife passed away. And he's like, you married the wrong woman.
Yeah, and that didn't go well.
That did not go well, because he grabs him by the throat.
And I'd say he actually done that too.
Yeah, and what I love here is...
It sounds too real.
Yeah, what I love is that Will's character here doesn't, you know, get intimidated, doesn't get angry. He just looks at the clock and goes, time's up.
you could tell that he in his head that the wheels are turning, and he's like, yeah, I know how to break him now.
Yeah. But I love that, you know, he's like, he's gotten in, because this is what Will has done with all of the therapists. He knows enough therapy from reading books that he gets into their head and breaks them.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's won here again. He thinks he's broken Sean as well. And we do see Sean go home and he's drinking at home, worrying, did I marry the wrong woman?
Which leads us to the next one then.
Well, it leads us to their second meeting. But just before their second meeting, we get to see Skylar go out on the date with the...
Oh, that's right, Jay.
With Will, and you know they're just in the shop trying on these different sunglasses, and
that looks like a good first fun date, though.
It does, but at the same time, it's not something that you'd ever be able to organize. Because imagine you take someone into the shop and they're just like, "What the fuck are we doing here?" You'd be like, "Oh, I thought we'd just try on a load of glasses." They'd be like, "Take me home, please."
And then he does the magic trick with the handful of mints. You're gonna make them disappear. One, two, whoop!
It works better with my rabbit.
All right, Will.
All right, mate. That rabbit is just gone. Like, it's definitely gone then.
As soon as that lands on four legs, it's gone.
God, yeah. But yeah, now, you know, he seems to have a decent first date with her and stuff. And it looks
They go to the arcade and then they get a burger.
Yeah, and it looks like things are kind of going well, you know. So you're kind of like, all right, she's going to be the love interest for the rest of this film. But that kind of gets put on hold after his second meeting with
Her accent does my head in this, though.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
Yeah, no. Like, when she first starts talking, you think Australian.
Yeah, it's just all over the place, isn't it?
She's like, I'm English, and I'm like, whoa.
She wasn't great. We know that she's, you know, English and she's rich. You know, her parents left her money when they passed away and stuff. But the second date doesn't seem to be coming, because after her second appointment with Sean, which is the one I have behind me here, where he brings him down to the pond.
The infamous monologue.
Yeah, where he brings him down to the pond and he's just like, after what you said to me, I really sat at home and questioned myself. Did I marry the wrong girl? Like, did I do things wrong in my life? And then I realized, you don't know anything. You're just some dumbass kid. Like,
yeah, I love this. It's like, if I asked you about any art painting, you could spiel off anything from a book. But could you tell me what the Sistine Chapel smells like?
Yeah.
Could you tell me what it feels like to stand underneath that painting and look up?
Yeah, and you've never been in love, and like he just breaks him completely, and he explains to them. He's just like, you know, would you be willing to sit there in a hospital, and they couldn't make you leave because they knew that if they came and told you it was time to leave, visiting hours were over, you were still going to be sitting there 6 hours later.
Your eyes tell you that visiting hours don't apply to me.
Yeah.
What it's like to sleep sitting in a hospital chair.
Yeah, and we learned that, you know, the wife died from cancer here, and you know, his acting here where it's like he's remembering it, but he doesn't overdo it with, you know, like, oh, I'm still like crying with this.
I think an old tear or two here wouldn't have gone amiss.
No, I see. I think it's perfect that he doesn't cry here. I think it's, you know, because it's meant to have been a couple of years since it happened. So
in 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, he still shows that the emotion is still raw there, but that he's also managed to deal with it enough that he's able to speak about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still hear the quiver in his voice as he talks about it.
Yeah.
So I think it's the perfect amount of, you know, sadness is still there, but it's not debilitating me anymore.
I love how Will then tries to counteract it with you must have a swan fetish.
Well, that's when they first sit down before the whole spiel gets going. And when the spiel gets going, he just ends it with, it's your move now, kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
when he just leaves him with that, he's like, he doesn't say it's your move now. He says, what does he say?
It's your choice.
The ball's in your park. Is it the ball is in your park or something like that? Something like that. It's just, your move, chief. That's what he calls him. He doesn't call him kid. He calls him chief. Your move, chief. And, you know, we see the next few sessions where they just sit in total silence.
I love this, though. And, like, you see Lambeau coming in. He's like, what do you mean he didn't talk? He's like, he counted the seconds.
It's very interesting, actually.
He's like, I will not talk first.
Yeah. And I love it. You know, they just sit there in silence. And it's meant to be, like, two or three sessions, and they're each an hour long. And they just sit there in total silence.
Well, not
total silence, because we do see the Sean whistles through one of them.
Yeah, he breaks him with that.
Yeah, but he doesn't interact with him. You know, he just like, I'm happy to just sit here with you for these next 3 hours, and that's when Will decides to crack his joke.
It's the greatest joke any movie ever.
Yeah, the pilot is, you know, sitting in the cockpit, and he's, you know, giving the normal spiel of, oh, we're going to be at this amount of feet and all this, that, and the other. And he's like, I need to get a coffee and a blowjob soon. But he doesn't realize he's left the speaker on. And obviously one of the
air hostesses
runs up to tell him that he's left the speaker on. And some old man in the aisle turns around and goes, hey, don't forget his coffee as well.
And I love how later on you hear Sean saying this in the bar.
Yeah, what I love here is that Sean, he doesn't laugh at it. At first, he goes, you've never been on an airplane. Because...
he's caged. He knows he's never left.
Yeah, but what I love here is that, you know, Will has decided to make this joke because he now feels comfortable with Sean.
Yeah.
But Sean plays, instead of like letting Will feel like, okay, we've become very comfortable and now we're on an equal level, he knocks Will back a peg and he goes... Don't forget, I'm still one level ahead of you. And then Will kind of starts asking a few questions here and there. And he goes, time's up. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, he has his game shot there, didn't he?
Yeah, he keeps, you know, he takes the power in the relationship in a sense, you know.
Yeah,
but at the same time, keeps them friendly. He's not, you know, demanding anything from Will, but he's also reminding him, we're not friends here.
Yeah, and then it's just like, then it goes to them in the pub.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, and the old lad at the end of the bar.
Yeah, oh, and he's telling...
You didn't shout that.
No, it's the same response. No, it's a joke. It just works better if you say it in the first person rather than, you know, from somebody else's point of view.
But, did you think the barman looked like John Lithgow a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. I was going to say that to you. I thought he did look a little bit.
I was looking at it and I was like, you're not Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, but after this talk at the, you know, at the pond, we do see that
that's the breakthrough.
Yeah, he goes to Scott. He realizes, you know, that he's always hidden behind a wall. And the reason he hasn't, you know, gone in contact with Skyler is that he's like, I don't want to take that risk of, you know, forming that connection with her and then she leaves me.
Oh, yeah, he wants to be the one in control all the time.
Yeah, so he goes and takes this risk. I love this. He goes to her room, and she's kind of like, no, you can't come in. And at first you're kind of like, oh, does she have somebody else in there, or what is it? And she's like, no, I just have to work out this problem. So he goes outside, works it out, and comes back in.
But, he can't see that problem. Like,
no, she just explains what she's studying, and he just comes up and goes, there you go, there's the answer. Now let's go.
Right. It's brilliant. Like, you see him going down. He's like, it's like he's at a coffee shop.
It just shows how, you know, how intelligent he is. And she's like, I've been studying months for this. And you just did that. And he's like, yeah, I read about it in my spare time.
Yeah.
And again, you just see how his brain works, that it just remembers these things. It's just so easy for him.
And it's here. Like, she doesn't reference it here, but she references it later on. She's like, have you got an idea, like idyllic memory? No, I don't think so.
No, and he doesn't have an eidetic memory, because an eidetic memory, he'd remember anything and everything that's ever said to him. I've met people with them, and it's very strange. Like, they won't forget anything. The smallest bit of information you give them, that's with them for a life. Like,
I think he does though.
No, he doesn't. There's certain differences. Like, if you meet someone that actually has it, it's, you know.
I know. Like, I haven't met anybody, I don't think, but like, I watch Suits, and I know Mike in Suits has an eidetic memory.
Yeah, maybe there might be different levels, and he probably does have something similar. But yeah.
Be able to read those books from when you're a kid and remember those kind of things is just ridiculous. Like,
what I do like here is that he, you know, he eventually moves his relationship with Skyler forward, and he's like, all right, I'll bring you to meet my friends at the pub. And he's kind of like, she is not going to like them at all.
It's not really, like, she turns around, the two of them are lying in bed, and like, he's the kissing her stomach or whatever, and she's like, if I told you I'm not going to sleep with you anymore until I meet your friend. He's trying to ring his friend answers the phone, he's like, hello, he's like, I'll talk to you later.
No, but I loved, you know, he brings her down to meet them, and it's in, you know, the normal dive bar that they kind of always went to back home.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see he's like looking at her being like, she is not going to be happy with these, because they're telling these, telling jokes, and you know, like they're all laborers basically, and you know, the old, like, oh, they,
it's
just
the boys club.
Yeah, it's the boys club. They kind of talk with, you know, no filters, and you know, nothing really, no embarrassments or anything. And then she tells her joke of
I love her joke, it's so funny,
where she takes the drink.
She's like, there's a grandma or a grandpa, a 76-year-old couple.
Yeah.
And they're like, wakes up and she's like, my God, you're handsome. What do you want? And he's like, I'd love a blowjob. So she gives him a blowjob. She looks up and he's like, what do you want? A kiss. She dribbles it all down her face.
It's so good. And it just shows that, you know, even though she had this posh upbringing with all the money, that she doesn't care that that's the upbringing he has, because it's something he's very secretive of the whole time he's with her as well.
But like,
never brings her back to his actual house, still lying about his family.
He gets landed in here though, because obviously he's told her when they're at the race, and he has 12 brothers.
Yeah.
And obviously when they're walking out, he gets the keys to the car, and she's like, yeah, you're never going, I thought we're going back to your place. He's like, no, you're never going back to that one bedroom shithole.
Yeah.
And you can just see him, and his Will's just like, oh, you dick.
Yeah, but he manages to play it off where she's still not certain about whether he does have a big family or not. But you know, they go back, you know, they go back to her place or whatever, and we just see, you know, the things continue on with Sean here, where, you know, they're talking away, and Lambo comes in and he says to, kind of saying to Sean, he's like, we need to start thinking about Will's future. I've got him all these interviews. And Sean is just like, he's not ready for those. He needs to work out the stuff in his past before he can move forward. And
he is right. Now, Lambo's doing it for a good reason, but in the wrong way.
I think Lambo's doing it for a good reason, but he's also doing it for himself, because he knows that that's his ticket to fame as well.
It'll benefit him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And but Sean has kind of only got Will's interests at heart here.
Yeah. Like, I love how there's one, I can't remember which interview or which meeting it was, where he's like, you're supposed to be the psychiatrist. He's like, I only just teach this.
Yeah. But I love that, you know, like they have this argument, but Will hears all of it, and he sees that Sean is arguing for him, not, you know, as a psychiatrist, but as a friend. And this is where the relationship takes that next step, where he's like, Sean is also, you know, looking out for me. It's not just a job to him.
Yeah. But it's not even, I don't even know if he's getting paid for it. He never actually referenced that. Like,
no, you'd assume he's getting some sort of payment, but like that it's beyond that for him. But you know, they discuss all this, and then we see Chucky get sent in to do one of these interviews for Will, and he is just, I'm gonna need some sort of upfront payment. Give me $200, and they're all like, I don't have $200.
I got 73.
Yeah, but, that'll do.
He's like, well, I need to be on a retainer. Like, we're offering you 83 grand a year.
Yeah, I need something up front.
Retainer. I said, you want me to give you a retainer? I didn't say that.
Yeah, I do love it. He's so good, but you can, it again just shows that Sean just, that Will just kind of doesn't really care too much about it.
I love it though. And then like the next day he's in with Lambo. How'd the meeting go?
Oh yeah, it went great.
I said I couldn't make it. I had a date, so I sent my representative.
Yeah, and if you're gonna do that, it embarrasses me. So make sure you're going to them, sort of thing. It makes a big deal about it. But I loved it. This is when he goes out with Skylar, and Skylar's like, "No, I need to study." And she asks him, "How can you remember all this?" And he's just like, "Do you know what?" Like, he's like, "Do you know Mozart and all? Like, they sat down, and they could just play piano." He's like, "I can't play piano, but I can just sit down and I just learn it. It's easy."
Yeah, there was the thing. Yeah, it was able to play the piano. Yeah,
they
look at it and just able to do it. For me, it's just keys, three pedals, and a wooden box.
Yeah, whereas I see that book and it just all makes sense to me, and I can't explain it. I think that's the perfect analogy. Like, you know, they don't try and make out, oh, he's super smart and he works really hard. They just, that's the story. Like, he just absorbs information
and stores it. Yeah,
yeah, and then stores it. Like, that's it. But it's great. Like, she then invites him, you know, like they're back at her apartment. Well,
there was one bit there, like she kisses him then, and all of a sudden it's like everything has changed.
Yeah, you know, their relationship has, you know, taken that next step where, you know, they're not just dating sort of thing anymore, you know.
Yeah,
they both see a future here.
You get this.
This is a tough scene where she invites him down to California,
and he's just like,
he's like, no, I can't go to California. And I, you know, the first time you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, he's still on parole, so obviously he can't go to California.
Like, there's that, and then like they've only really arguably probably been dating for about 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to tell how many, like, we've only seen X amount of sessions with Sean, but like you can assume it's probably been,
well, it's not even that, because he has to go on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, it probably has been a few months. Like, they are skipping ahead in time here.
Like, oh yeah, no, I know that, but like it's no more than it's arguably a lot less than a year.
No, yeah, it's definitely less than a year. You know, it's within the first year. But she's saying, you know, I have to move down to Cali, and you know, he's obsessed with like the fact that she had a rich family, and she kind of then
it wasn't even that she had a rich family. The dad left her in the inheritance, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, but her family was rich, so sure, her upbringing was always quite good, and his was always terrible.
Yeah.
So this, you know,
this is where you get that moment when you finally find out.
Yeah, well, she pushes him. She's like, "You told me you had 12 brothers," and he eventually cracks, and he's like, "Yeah, that was all lies. Like, why are you so concerned about the lies I've told you?" Like, and you know, she's pushing his, you know, to be more intimate with him.
There is one thing here though. Like, he tells her he loves her, right?
Yeah.
While they're lying on the bed, and 2 minutes later, after the little argument where he's like, "What do you want to know? You want to know that he put cigarettes out on me? You want to know that he stabbed me?"
Yeah, this isn't appendicitis. This is where they stabbed me. And she's crying to him, saying like, "I didn't know." And like, how could she?
How would you know?
She's clearly just trying to get close to him. Like, she just wants to move forward in that relationship, but he's scared.
It's then she says to me, she says, "If you don't love me, just tell me." And just tells her point blank, straight to her face. "Yeah, I don't love you. Bye."
"I don't love you." And just leaves. Like, and you can see again, this is what Sean was saying to him. He was like, "You can't, because of your past, you can't build a relationship with anybody. Not a lasting one. It's only fleeting for you. Yeah. Everything."
It is. It's like, it's a very rough scene, and like, to a point where this was made, I'm generally surprised in that scene that he doesn't hit her.
And but that's the thing. It comes so close to it. Like, he hits the wall just beside her.
I think that's it's a lot to do with like him growing up being assaulted.
Yeah, it's his self control over, you know, as angry as he got, he was still aware of
what he's doing.
I don't want to be the person that's hitting the people I care about.
Yeah, I don't want to be the bully.
Yeah. He's like, because the fights we've seen him in previously are all, you know, standing up for someone. It's not him just going out looking for a fight either.
Yeah.
Like, when he had the chance to attack Carmen earlier from behind, but Carmen wasn't doing anything. He was like, "Yeah, that kid bullied me years ago, but, you know, I leave it. But it's later then when he sees Carmen throwing the bottle at that girl, he's like, "Right.
There's Carmen. Let's go."
It's like, that guy's still a dick, so it's time to sort him out. Like, he might initiate fights, but it's never...
Yeah.
He never just wants... Like, he's not looking for them all the time. But he kind of spirals here. Like, he goes into Lambo, and he starts burning the notes he's given him. And
He misses a session here as well.
Yeah, and Lambo admits, you know, he's like, "I can't do this without you." And he's like, "Yes, I need you. I need you to prove this, because I can't do it."
Yeah.
"And if you want to throw it all away, that's your choice."
Yeah.
He turns down the government job and doesn't go to
school. I love this. Why wouldn't you want to work for the NSA? I don't know, pal. Maybe because...
the bombs I make will then be used to bomb the houses of innocent people.
This is it. This is another one of them good monologues in this, where he's like, "What if you gave me a code that you couldn't crack and I cracked it? It turned out to be the coordinates of a base. You bomb the base, it kills 150,000 people. Or 152,000 people, like."
Yeah.
And then you send the Marines in, and the Marines get attacked, and then they lose their job. It's a random spiel.
Yeah, and it's just him saying, you know, "I don't want to be
involved with it."
Involved in what's basically just war.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see him spiraling here, and Sean kicks him out of therapy. He's like, "You clearly don't want to get better. Just kind of get out. I'm not interested anymore. Just get out of here." And then Chucky tells Chucky, you know, I'm just going to work here with you for the rest of my life, and our kids are going to grow up here. They're going to play Little League and all this.
This is a tough old scene, isn't it?
Yeah, and Chucky just turns around to him, and it's like,
if you're here, if you're here in 20 years, I'll kill you myself.
He says he'll kill him himself, and he's also like, every morning, the happiest part of my day is when I pull up to your house, and I hope that when I knock on your door, you won't be there to answer. And you're like, man, this, you know, yous are meant to be best friends. I wouldn't like.
No, I know why he's saying it.
I know why he says it, but you're kind of like, dude, we're meant to be best friends. Like, I really don't want that to be.
You just cut me deep, man.
Yeah, you just cut me deep. But he does say to him, he's like, listen, you insult all of us by staying here because you can go and be more. This is it for us. Like, the rest of us.
I love this, though. He's like, any lad here on this site would give everything to have what you have.
Yeah. And you're just going to waste it because you don't want to take that risk. You don't want to try.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's an emotional scene again. And this is when he goes in and he goes to Sean. And there's one meeting with Sean we missed where, you know, Sean explains to him how he met his wife and stuff. And he's like, it's the little things I remember about her. You know, I don't remember accomplishments or anything like that. He's like, I just remember, you know. Oh,
that she farted in bed one time and she woke herself up.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just explaining that, like, what love is. He's like, this is why.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we did, yeah. So yeah, where he was like,
that's how he ends up going on the second date with Skylar. But this one is the one where Sean finally breaks him, and he's like, you want to know about me? Well, when I was growing up, I had a drunk and abusive father. And he'd come home steaming drunk every night. And I would walk out and I'd insult him. It's the first thing I'd do when I heard him coming through that door. I'd walk out and I'd insult him. And why? Not to be a hard man, but because I knew that the anger was going to be directed at someone. And I wanted it to be me rather than my little brother or my mother. And
he throws in that one-liner as well. It was the interesting nights when he had rings on.
Yeah, the rest of the nights were fine. But when he had those rings on, that was something else. And you can see it finally hits home with Will, where he's like, I'm not the only one that's been through this.
He's the same. He's basically the same person.
And he's like, I can come out the other side of this. Like, all of the stuff that I've been, you know, fighting to make sure I never go above my what he believes his station is of, you know, I'll just be a bricklayer. I'll just be working on sites and drinking with the boys. He's never viewed himself as being deserving of anything more. And this is where Sean finally breaks him. And he's like, you can get more. You deserve more. And don't let your past hold you back. And he breaks down and he's crying in the office and he tells him all the stories, you know, of what's happened to him. And
yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
It's a rough old scene, yeah. But then we see the next morning and, you know, we see Chucky pulling up with the boys to pick him up for work. And they're knocking on the door, looking in, and everything's gone. What I love here is they get back in the car and your man with the burger.
Just hop so.
I get in the front, so if old Will's not coming, I'll hop in here.
I love the smile on Chucky's face, though. He's just kind of like,
yeah,
you did it, but, kid.
But you can see the smile on his face, but also the sadness as well, which is what I like. Again, as we said, Affleck just steals the show here. Like, he has that smile of, you know, I'm glad I got through to him, but the sadness that, you know, my closest friend is now also gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not true. Like, he plays that off perfectly. Yeah.
And then the letter.
The letter he leaves to Sean. Now, the car he's driving off is the one the boys buy him for his 21st birthday as well.
The Junker.
Yeah, the Junker. And I love this. They bring him out of the bar. And obviously, you know, he's ready to fight all of them. Because this is, you know, like mess fighting, obviously, that they do on their each other's birthdays or whatever.
I know. Yeah, when they're on the trampoline thing and all.
Yeah. Now, the thing is that this is meant to be his 21st. And they've been drinking the whole time. So, again, a little bit questionable in the over here. 18 is fine. But
well, I suppose, I mean, like, look at the likes of American Pie and all. They were all meant to be 18.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And it's the same as over here. They're meant to be, you know, you're meant to be 18 to drink, and most people are drinking way before.
Well, the 21 age limit's a fucking joke anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. You know, he's drinking pre-21. That's, you know, it is normal over there as well.
That's illegal.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it is. It's the norm as well. But I like that he goes up and he leaves a letter for Sean here. Sean comes out and gets it.
I love how he rings the doorbell, then he bangs the door and legs it.
Yeah, what I love here is that he reads out the letter and it's like, tell him I couldn't make that interview. I had to go, I had to go see about a girl. Sean just looks at reads it and goes, that son of a bitch. That's my line.
I love that though. Like, that's the meeting we said we missed, where he's explaining that he had tickets to the World Series game, game six. It's obviously a famous one.
Yeah, and what was it like to see that? I don't know, didn't see it. I told the boys I had to go see about a girl.
And they let you away with that. That's the attitude now though, isn't it? Like, your mates are rip at you for
And the best thing about that scene is that at the end of it, he's like, I didn't know he was going to hit that home run, did I? So he's like, yeah, I went and did it because, you know, I thought, you know, nothing big's going to happen here. So I didn't think I was missing anything. And he's like, I don't regret that I did it, but I also do regret that I missed that moment.
Yeah. Oh, you would though, wouldn't you? Like,
you got his wife and all from a great... Yeah, like, but it'd be like, you know, for us over here, like, we're big United fans. And, you know, obviously we were too young in 99 for... You know, to be having any big life decisions like that, but imagine, you know, you had the chance to go to the 99 final, Champions League final. The 99 final, because that's the real
It
was fairy tales. Like, imagine you had the chance to go see that.
Yeah.
And then you went.
I vaguely remember watching that though.
Yeah, but you know, like, imagine you had the chance, you got tickets, go see it live, and then you were like, I saw this girl across the bar. And it's not like you've been going out with her for ages or anything like that. It's the first time he's seen her. And he skipped out.
She said no.
Yeah. But that's the whole story. He's like, I went over and, you know, we ended up married. Chance. Yeah, he's like, I took my chance. And then at the end of it, when they're kind of discussing, he's like, well, I can't believe you missed that. And he's like, you'd be like, but I didn't know Solskjaer was going to score in a 90-something minute, did I? You know, he Robin Williams makes sure that's the last line of that scene, you know, him being like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So it's like, I don't regret what I did, but like, also I do a little bit, you know, there's still always going to be that moment, but you can always go back and, you know, he still enjoyed the moment, but we see him driving off. And this, I love how this ends with him saying, that son of a bitch stole my line. Because as we said earlier, he stole Will's joke to tell to other people. So the two of them have taken each other's stuff, and it just comes in around in that full circle. And then you just see him driving off in the car. And again, it's similar to some other films where you don't get to know, oh, does he get down there? And does Skyler turn around and go, no? Or does he get there and things go well? You never find that out.
I don't think it does, because obviously he talks to her before she gets on the plane, and she still says, oh, I love you. And he just says, okay, bye.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But like, he goes and makes this drive, but they never showed, you know, them meeting up. There's no happy ending. There's just, you know, there's a kind of happy enough ending of, oh, he's going to see her. But,
or is he though? It could be anywhere he's gone.
No, well, he says he's going to see about the girl. So we know he is going to see her. Yeah, I know,
but like, it could be anywhere.
She could just turn around and be like, yeah, I've kind of moved on. You know, like, we had a massive fight and then I moved away and you were just like,
okay, bye.
You know, you didn't even come see me often. Yeah. But yeah, as we said, the acting in this is top notch. There's a reason it's one of the better rated films we've ever done as well.
But from everybody, the performances from everybody.
Oh yeah. It's phenomenal all around. And the story it tells, and you know, how serious it is, but it is inlaid with the few jokes, you know, like, of there's a bit of comedy, because that's the way life is, you know, as tough as things is, there's always bits of things.
Any
like
kind
that.
Of drama should have some kind of comedy in it.
Yeah, well, you need it there to lighten the mood. You can't be sitting there, you know.
Jesus, it'd be a 2-hour drag, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 2 hours of intense, but this flies by. It's two and a bit hours long. It just flies
209,
by.
209,
like, yeah, it just flies by. It's brilliant. Yeah. Well, yeah, a great choice for a Robin Williams flick here. Obviously, the first two we did were Hook and Jumanji,
they're bankers though.
Yeah, they're great. Like, I would maybe argue that I prefer them over this.
It depends on the movie you're in the mood for. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, for rewatchability, I've definitely watched them more times than I'll
rewatchability, 100%. So, like, they are, but this is
as an actual movie. Like, yeah, if you're talking about like which is the better film, like, truly a better film, this blows them out of the water. But yeah, we'll continue on with our last Robin Williams film for this month.
We'll leave you to find that one out.
You'll have to wait and see what that is, but until then, look